So, I mean, in terms of Greenham, do you want to tell me a little bit about?
Well, the very first I heard of it was there was a women's march going from Cardiff, Women for Life on Earth, Peace on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they were marching to this place I'd never heard of. But it was all women, and I was working for Women's Aid at the time in Cardiff. I've always been into women's issues, so it sounded good. Mm-hmm. And they were walking to this place, which I'd never heard of before, called, it wasn't even called Greenham then. What was the name of the place? I know Newbury was the biggest town, so they were kind of going there, probably for supplies. And it was not exactly past my house, but it was just down the road a bit. So I decided to join them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I was in Newport at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd moved to Newport. But they started from Cardiff and they were coming through. So anyway, I thought, right, I'll walk with them for a while. So I walked from there up to Severn Bridge. And I've spitted sparks about this ever since. I came back home then.
Yeah.
Because I had work the next day. And I thought, oh, that was lovely, blah, blah. And then look what it turned into. And I thought, oh, I'd really like to have been there at the start of that, you know, actually setting up camp and everything. But I wasn't. But after that, of course, you know the story, it got established and everything. And then I was in a women's group in Newport.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about supporting the Greenham women. So we got a minibus to start with, because I think there were only half a dozen of us. And we took food supplies and, you know, water bottles and things like that. And we did a couple of trips like that. So, just sort of stayed for the day. And I got talking to some of the women and I thought, yeah, I think I want to be a bit more involved with this. This is this is worth adding a number to. So my daughter was about 3 at the time. So we went down with some friends, I took my bivy with me. And I've always been keen on camping, so luckily I already have a small tent. And we stayed a few days. And then I did that on a regular basis. I can't say I ever lived there. I mean, it wasn't that hardy because I had a small child. But I used to go down and stay a few days, maybe every 6-7 weeks. And then, you know, got a bit more involved.
Yeah.
And, I got arrested once. I went without her the one time. I left her with a friend and I went on my own, so I was a bit braver.
Mm-hmm.
And we all got carted off to Newbury and put in the cells.
What did you get arrested for?
It was some stupid thing. I think it was to do with disturbing the peace when we were actually trying to make some peace, you know. Disturbing the bombs, I think it should have been. Disturbing your nuclear weapons. An old hand, been there from the start, she said, when it's your turn to get up to the desk, they'll ask you your name, say Bridget Evans. And you've probably heard of this already, have you?
I've heard of using different names.
Well, every single woman gave her name as Bridget Evans. I don't think there was even one of us who was really called Bridget Evans. But the guy sort of raised his eyes. You give that as your name. And he said, are you sure that's your name? Absolutely positive. Sir. Yes. I've just been told it is. So it must be true. So they could do sod all about that. And we ended up in the cells for only a few hours. We weren't even there overnight. We were singing. And I think we got on their nerves.
Yeah.
Because we just sang, really. And so, you know, despite being Welsh, I don't have a good singing voice. some did. So we would sing, you know, You Can't Kill the Spirit and all the Greenham songs. And in the end, I think they let us go because they got fed up of the racket.
You got fed up and you'd all said you were called Bridget Evans. And yes. I suppose, is there anything they can do about that? At the time, could they check what your name was or anything like that?
Apparently, they can, if people, you know, you can be charged with giving a false identity
mm-hmm.
and false information. But, of course, there were about 50-odd of us in one go.
Do they want to bother
exactly.
doing that?
We took a chance on they didn't want to bother.
Yeah.
And like, we never heard anything, so apparently we were right, they didn't.
Yeah. So it didn't end up in any court cases or anything like that?
No. Some of the women did. I had to be a bit careful because I was a single parent. Mm. I had a few good friends who would take her on, you know, for the duration. But she was very young, so I get involved with things, but not. I mean, I did cut the wire once. I just wanted to do it because everybody was cutting the fence.
Because everyone else was doing it.
Yes. So somebody had a great pair of thing. What do you mean, call them? Wire cutter things.
Bolt cutters.
That was the thing. Yeah. And I said, oh, give us a go. So I got there. They work really good.
Yeah.
Their defences aren't as strong as they thought they were.
No.
And then, of course, I didn't have my daughter with me on that occasion. We went and danced on top of the silo. Well, it was too good a chance to miss. So I went and climbed up the silo as well.
Remember at all around what kind of year that was?
It would have been 1986 because my daughter was born in 83 mm-hmm. and she was about 3 at the time. 86, possibly 87.
Okay.
Yeah. And somebody took a really good photograph. I mean, I don't think I was in that because it happened a few times, but they took it against a lighter sky, but it was silhouette. And I think it must have been early evening because there were stars, and that was a lovely photo. Just a silhouette
of the people dancing on the silo.
Yeah, these women just dancing, and they were, you know, right on the top of the silo.
I know. I think
top security, you can't get in there apparently.
Well, I think that because there was one sort of the most well-known time that people broke in or danced on the silos was New Year's Day.
That's
really
right.
Early
yeah.
in the morning. Do you yes. think it was that picture?
The picture might have been, I wasn't there on that occasion, but I think the picture might have been, because it was kind of a thing, you know, they were setting it up. And there was a woman, she also did some stuff with Women's Aid, but she was a professional photographer, Mary Giles.
Mm-hmm.
She's worth tracking down if you can find her. She lived in Cardiff, but this was in the 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Tall, statuesque, important looking,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, these kind of cherub face, you know. She had naturally blonde, curly, tight, curly hair. And she didn't look at all like a badass. She could have got away with anything. She looked angelic. But, anyway, she was a professional photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And she took loads of photos of Greenham Common.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to put things in the fence, you know, ribbons mostly. And she took pictures, loads of pictures of all that.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times we held hands and went all around the perimeter with our backs to the fence. And she took pictures of that. She was there for that. Yeah.
And you sort of mentioned, so you had a young daughter. What else did you have to balance with your home life? What else was going on there?
Well, I was working part time
mm-hmm.
because I did have a friend who was a childminder who used to look after us some of the time, but. By claiming housing benefit, which I was entitled to if I was only working part-time, it felt more secure than trying to earn enough to keep a roof over our head. So, I was working part-time for Women's Aid, and then I went, when she started school, I put in a few more hours. And I never married her dad.
Mm-hmm.
I had been married previously, and I wouldn't recommend it. No, it's not a good career choice. I mean, you know, some are, I guess, but yeah. Check them out first, really. I mean, yeah, this one, he was a nice person. Mm-hmm. He was lovely. But he still lived with mum and dad. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a proper job. He was an artist model, and he used to earn pocket money. And I had a nice council house in a nice area. And his parents thought that, you know, he was going to move in with me. Yeah. And I thought, no, because I live much cheaper than you. I mean, he'd have the heating on full blast in the summer. Uh-huh. And, you know, everything going full steam ahead and contributing nothing towards the bills. Mm. Whereas I live, you know, quite simple. I always have. I'd put an extra jumper on.
Yeah.
So, lifestyle generally was very simple. I sometimes had a few children because now and again it happens that a woman is badly injured when she comes in. She might may have cracked ribs or a broken limb.
At the women's aid?
Yeah.
So was the women's aid like a refuge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was kind of between the office reception and the refuge, mm-hmm. mostly at the refuge because I used to work with the kids. And which meant I could take my own non-school holidays and one more. When there's 14 running around, one more doesn't matter.
Yeah. So did you feel like the job you was doing was sort of supportive of you going to Greenham and things like that? Or
well, it's all about supporting women, yeah, because I have a history of unsupported women. My mum was an unsupported woman. She was married to my dad, mm-hmm. but he was never around, and I saw her struggle as I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And then I had this most unfortunate marriage myself, where, well, he was around, but I wished he wasn't. Mm-hmm. I had a son. But when we split up, I was in hospital, and I should have kept my mouth shut. I told him it was once too often, and when I got out, I was just leaving. So he took my son and got there first. He left. He had relatives in France. I didn't see my son for 22 years.
God.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Mm, it was.
Do you see him now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's going off the Greenham thing a bit, but would you like to know how I met him again?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course.
Well, before I had my daughter, you know, I went through a horrible time, obviously. You know, you can't lose a child and not go through that. I went a bit off the rails and that was a bit. And then I joined a cycling club. I decided, sod it, I'm going to get a bike. Never ridden a bike in my life before. And I'm like, wow. 27 by then, 28 maybe. And so I bought this bike for myself for my birthday, and I wheeled it down to the local cycling club, and the kids there were very supportive. I said, I've got a bike and I don't know how to ride, I need to learn. Mm-hmm. So it was great. So I went round and round the car park. I was going round, it was a great big circle, and they said, oh, yeah, you're doing great. Now, you know, come in and have a cup of tea and then come out and, you know, have another go and try letting go with one hand to, you know. So we came out after the cup of tea, and then it was feeling a bit full of myself. Oh, I'm getting the hang of this. So I went and down that one end, there's a sort of a little bit about one of those worth, and then a grass bank, and there's a ring, and I went in it, bike and all. I didn't quite do. I realised, I thought, oh, turn, but I didn't turn quick enough. And so I came out covered in duckweed and had to clean my bike. But they were very good. Uh-huh. Anyway, 2 weeks later, I bought panniers and I had a grand plan, which, as it turned out, worked out well. I had a grand plan that I bought the panniers and a saddlebag and a map holder for the front, because it was a racing bike, dropped handlebars, crossbar, you know, a really lovely bike. And I think I was a little bit in love with it. You can't marry bikes, but there you go.
But you'd recommend it more than marry.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it never answered back and it never hit me. Not well, it put me on the ground.
So it threw you in the duck pond.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, but that was my bad management, you know. I mean, I can really say then, unlike domestic ones, I can say, well, I asked for it. It was my fault. I was in the driving seat, so to speak. So, yeah, 2 weeks later, I've got my panniers on the back, my stuff in, blah, blah, blah. And my destination was the station, the train station. Mm-hmm. I put my bike on the train and I went to Stirling in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I stayed there for 4 weeks cycling around. And it was the best thing I've ever done. It kind of, you know, it fixed me a bit. Mm-hmm. I didn't stop grieving for him. But, you know, I could function again, put it that way. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I've never liked alcohol, which I'm not really glad of, because if there was ever a time in my life I'd have turned to the bottle, that would have been it. But anyway, yeah, and I started cycling, and I cycled all over the place. And then one time, after the Scotland thing, I was living in Newport. One of my brothers, lives in Farnham in Surrey. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if I could come down the following. I said, can I come down tomorrow for a few days? Oh, lovely. Yeah. Great to see you. So I cycled across, Salisbury Plain. You could go and see Stonehenge then. Mm. It wasn't all walled off, you know, fenced off.
Didn't want £20 to look at it from a distance.
Yes. Oh, I walked about amongst it and sort of touched the stones. It was lovely.
Yeah.
I stayed at Winchester Youth Hostel for the night. And then carried on. And I got to my brother's. My sister-in-law answered the door. And she said, oh, you've brought your bike. I said, yeah, that's how I got you. Anyway, how I got to find my son again was because after they'd recovered from the shock of me coming all that way on a bike, my brother said, oh, he said, I might have something to show you. He said, I don't know, but, you know, it might be... he said he's been looking for old college friends, from way back, and he couldn't find any, so he decided to go a couple of years up and a couple of years down to see if he could find siblings. Mm-hmm. And he found someone with my son's name. And the big thing that scrunched it for me, he cycled end to end, Land's End to John O'Groats. Mm-hmm. I'd done it the other way round.
Yes.
The one time I went to Scotland, I thought, oh, I'd heard about this thing. And I, you know, and we didn't have computers or anything then, but I think I'd seen it or heard it somewhere. Greenham was a long time after, yeah.
A long time after?
Yeah. That was in the 80s. This the cycling thing all happened through the 70s.
Oh, okay. So how sort of old were you when you were going to Greenham?
Well, I was born in 1947, mm-hmm. and I first went to Greenham in 1986. Mm-hmm. I'm crap at maths, so you'll have to work that one out.
1947 to 1939.
Yeah, about that. I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, because I had my daughter when I was 36, mm-hmm. so I would have been 39. Yes.
Mm. I see.
Yeah.
And did you... was there many people your age, or did you feel like you were, or there was a lot of younger people at Greenham?
It was a good mix, actually. Good mix. There was a couple of very old ladies there. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us were women, but out of respect, there was one woman, and she was 84.
That's amazing.
And she was full of mischief.
Yes.
She'd go up, well, the mod pods used to come around and try and move us, you know, because sometimes we'd sit across the road when a lorry was coming in, mm-hmm. and you kind of link arms, and she'd always insist on going in the front. Mm-hmm. And she'd sit there, and, you know, the mod pods, military police, they'd come and, like, you have to move, 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 move. Mm-hmm. And she'd say, make me. She wouldn't budge. She was brilliant.
And would she stay on the camp as well?
No, she lived fairly near. She didn't sleep overnight. She said she needed her bed, you know.
I think that's
for old bones, yeah. But she didn't live that far away. Mm-hmm. And she used to get a lift every day. And she'd come for the whole day,
yeah.
You know, go back to bed. Yeah, she was amazing.
And was there a particular gate that you...
Blue, mostly.
Blue.
Yeah. And, yeah, my mother got wind of it, of course.
Oh, really?
And she said, I'm not happy about you going there, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because she'd seen things on the news and she'd heard things, and things are always exaggerated. She said, there's all them green-haired lesbians there. So I said, Mother, I said, I have not dyed my hair green or any other colour. And then she was satisfied with that, and then she did a double take. She said, oh, and what about the other part? Figure it out, Mother. There's no way I'm living with a man again. I was brought up to think that it was a good thing to do, but it's not, trust me. That's a little bit harsh. I mean, my daughter's married, and he's such a lovely dad.
Yeah.
He is. And they run a tattoo studio just off Oxford Street.
Oh, really? What, in London?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he's good.
Well, I've noticed you've got a few tattoos.
Family rates. Every time all of mine are Tibetan. That's Tibetan. Uh-huh. That's a Tibetan yak. These are Himalayan poppies and the Buddha.
It's amazing. And also I can see
269 vegan. Yeah. Thousands of people got that done.
And is veganism a thing you remember at all at Greenham?
There were quite a few vegetarians because we used to have our own cooking pot.
Yeah,
it was good. All sorts used to go in there. I mean, I don't think we ever emptied it. It just used to get boiled. A germ wouldn't have survived. It was boiling the whole time.
Yeah, so every dinner was the same because it was mixed in with the last one.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, sometimes it would be very carroty if somebody brought a pile of carrots. Other time it would have loads of pearl barley in it. Mm.
And did you ever sort of feel like that it was uncomfortable, like the living conditions were uncomfortable at Greenham, or did that not?
Oh, they were bloody awful, but you know, we didn't care.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was uncomfortable. We were sleeping on the ground and there were a few benders. I mean, I didn't sleep there all the time. I stayed there occasionally. But, I mean, hats off to the woman who lived there because it was. I mean, and through the winter, you know, the ice on the ground.
Mm.
And after it got established, we took some down from the group in Newport, like proper tents with ground sheets and thermal sheets and, you know, various things which helped. But it was, you know. And, of course, now and again, the mod pods would come around and turn the standpipes off so you couldn't get water.
Mm-hmm.
They did everything they could to make life difficult.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
Because people sort of talk about the changing relationship of...
Over a period of time, I think a few years in, when they realised that we meant business and we weren't going anywhere... And of course, some younger ones, some different ones had come, a different crew, and it did change towards the end. It wasn't so hard, but the early days. I mean, first time, I didn't stay there often. The first time I stayed overnight, we got woken up in the middle of the night. You know, they came round and were shouting and, you know, get up, you can't sleep here, blah, blah, blah. What planet am I on? There was one woman, I don't know what her name was, but they used to call her Gobbo. And she did have a gob on. She was from Splott in Cardiff. And she used to tell them what she thought of them. Yeah, I was a bit frightened of her, I must admit, because she wouldn't stand no nonsense from anybody. Mm-hmm. And people like me were lightweights, which, fair enough, you know. I mean, she was really, really doing it, and she had been from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to that, I was a lightweight. I'll own it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but she had no truck with anybody that wasn't full-time, fully committed.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only way you're going to change the world.
Mm. And, well, obviously you had your daughter, but was there anyone else with kids there, or was it?
Yeah, some of the people were slightly older kids. They used to bring the kids, and they were families. Mm. One woman actually had a baby while we were there. Sarah Green gave birth. That's right. Yeah. Oh, you've heard it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's well known.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing woman.
Yeah. She's still very active. Now she's been interviewed.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Wow. I did have a load of photos, but my oldest granddaughter, she's been doing social history, so I gave her all my photos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And some
all
of them...
All your Greenham photos?
Well, some of them were the Greenham ones, yeah. And there were other things as well. Women's Aid marches, Reclaim the Night, and all, you know, all that.
Uh-huh.
And when I wasn't working for Women's Aid anymore, I went to work for WEA, Workers' Education Association, in Wales, and running women's history classes because my daughter had started school, so I could go out, you know, in the daytime more, and do stuff, and I mean, I suppose they could all look it up on Google now if they wanted to, but I used to spend hours in the library sort of writing up stuff. I did women in sport, women in the theatre, women at Greenham Common. And, of course, my granddaughter, she's really into history, and particularly women's history.
Mm.
So I gave her all my stuff, and she was thrilled to bits with it.
Yeah. I'm sure she's kept it safe.
Oh, she has, yeah. Some of it went, some of the stuff I had when she was, my granddaughter was a little baby. Was she even born? I think, I don't know if she was even born. And some of it I gave to a women's archive in Bristol.
Oh, okay.
And there was the magazine, Spare Rib. There was a magazine at the time run by a women's cooperative, and I had a whole pile of them, which selfishly I've since wished I'd hang on to a few of them. But I have one. I've got one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I gave them all to the women's archive in Bristol.
Obviously, there was a generational difference between you and your mother. Was she quite horrified by it all?
She was a little bit. For my safety, to be fair to her, she didn't want me in danger.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, she was a lovely mum. She was a nurse all her life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the idea of me sleeping on the ground and with all these strange women. But I did try and tell her, you know, she didn't want to hear it. Well, I'm a little strange too, Mother. Yeah. No, you're mine. You can't be strange. I made you. You're mine and you're different. You're not strange. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I have to wear the frock occasionally.
Oh, God. But it didn't impact your relationship.
Oh,
too.
No. No, right up to the... I sat with her while she was dying.
Yeah.
She was in the home, and she knew she was going. And, yeah. No, she absolutely... My two brothers and myself, we could do no wrong, even if we tried.
Yeah.
She'd be worried for us, and, you know, she'd say things. But, yeah, in the end, it was... I had a long-term relationship while I was still in Wales, and Mum used to come over. Was a woman, and Mum used to come over weekends now and again. She used to take it in turns. She'd have a couple of days with me, and then she'd go and stay with one of my brothers. And so, you know, she used to come about every 5 or 6 weeks, and she always used to very pointedly refer to her. Oh, your friend is here. Yes, Mother. And she never would call her by name. She was like, your friend. Yes, Mother. But I will say, the two Christmases that she came to, because we used to share her for Christmas as well, and two Christmases during that time, she brought identical presents for me and my friend.
Yes.
So, you know, there was an acknowledgement there. But she was lovely.
Yeah.
Unlike my dad. But, you know, that's a different story because they'd both been through a world war.
Yeah.
And he'd seen his mates bombed, blown to bits alongside him. So, I mean, he used to wake up in the middle of the night screaming his head off, which has got nothing to do with Greenham Common.
But it's, I mean, it's all, it's just interesting to hear what sort of...
It's how, background, I suppose, yeah. Where we all come from. And, you know, we come from all these different backgrounds and we end up in Greenham Common.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And with it, sort of realising you wanted to have relationships with women, do you think Greenham was a big part of realising that?
I think it reinforced what I'd already, the conclusion I'd already come to. But, you know, I was brought up quite sheltered from things generally of a sexual nature. And I can remember as young as 12 thinking, you know, oh, I'll get married one day. It's a pity girls can't marry each other because I don't really like boys that much. And, you know, with or without the sexual side of a relationship, I live with women so easily. You know, you share the chores, you share the fun, you share the messy bits and the nice bits. And, well, they're just so much easier to get on with. But yeah, of course, yeah, it took Greenham Common really to sort of cement the, oh yeah, oh, I'm not, you know, there's a few more of us, okay, that's good.
Yeah. And were there many other sort of places in society where that was visible? Or do you think Greenham did a lot to make?
It wasn't really visible in general society, apart from a few select pubs around Cardiff.
Yeah.
And they were quite male-dominated, you know, gay bars and things. But, yeah, I think mostly I met like-minded women through going to the theatre and things like, you know, Students' Union Theatre in Cardiff. They used to put on a lot of alternative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And... London. I lived in London for a while, and there was Reg Rag Theatre Company.
Mm-hmm.
They used to tour around, and they did. Well, the one we went to was called Fires of Bride,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of set in an old fashioned nunnery
mm-hmm.
with shenanigans. There was a twist in the tale. Yeah. That was good. I think people are much tamer these days.
Much tamer?
Yeah. Because I suppose it seems that way because everything's permissible now, so you don't have to be outside of the norm to have whatever lifestyle you want.
Mm.
You know? Yeah, if you want to live with three other people and have a giant bed, you can do it. And nobody takes any notice. So,
yeah.
Or if you want to live with a same-sex relationship or an opposite-sex relationship, you know, married, single, not married, living in the same house, not living in the same house.
So, obviously, you're living in this Quaker house. Yes. Are you a Quaker?
No, I've been a Buddhist for over 40 years now.
I was going to say, yeah. Can you be both?
Well, I do go to some Quaker meetings. Yeah. It's very similar. You sit there silent for a... You know, sometimes somebody will get up and say something. It's what they call ministry. If they feel moved by God or something in them to stand up, they'll read a passage from the Bible or they just say something, you know. And maybe two or three people might stand up in the course of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Some meetings, nobody stands up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like meditation. I just sit there quietly for an hour.
Yeah.
And it's nice. Yeah, it's good.
Quakers played quite a big role in Greenham. Is that something you remember?
Yes, well, not really, because I not really had much to do with Quakers then. Mm. I'd sort of heard of them because we used to have, there was a a meeting. We used to have a meeting once a month. It was called Older and Bolder. sort of women's group. And we used to meet in the Quaker meeting house in Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So I'd sort of heard of Quakers, but I'd never been to a meeting or anything until I came here, and I thought.
It's Greenham. When, how did you sort of stop going? Did it sort of fizzle, or was there a sort of definitive end point?
No, I think it just fizzled out because, you know, my daughter was getting older, and I was kind of, you know, trying to make her life interesting, so I would take her for YHA weekends and things like that. I was doing things that she would enjoy more than going to Greenham.
Mm-hmm.
But she, the last time she went, she was about six, I think, six or seven. And, yeah, she was okay. She didn't complain. She's not a grumbly sort. Never been a complainer. But I could see she wasn't, you know, she was a bit bored. Mm-hmm. And so somebody was coming back. We had planned to stay the night, but it was cold. And somebody was coming back to Newport. So I said to her, right, I said, we've got a lift if you want it. Oh, yes. She had visions of a warm, cosy bed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we came back.
Does she remember Greenham?
Vaguely. She has vague recollections. She's got a photograph of herself. Mm-hmm. There was a woman, she might not be alive now because she was in her 80s then. When I moved here, she was well into her 80s. Lovely woman. And she used to coordinate the food and warm clothing and the transport and everything and come down for the day, mm-hmm. to Greenham. And my daughter was about four the one time we were coming down. And there was a celebration. I think it was so many years or something that, you know, been there. And so there were balloons anyway. And in we had a bus because a lot of women were coming down. We hired this bus. And and there were loads of balloons. And Jen was put in charge of the balloons. They kept her busy for the whole journey till she fell asleep before we got there. Because mm-hmm. she's, of course, on a moving vehicle. They were going this way, that one. And she took her job very seriously, just bringing them back. Yeah. Yeah, I think she was about five, maybe five or six then. And I think we went once after that.
You've spoken, you keep referring to sort of the women aspect of Greenham, and I mean, obviously there was like the nuclear aspect and the war stuff, but do you think you were more drawn because of the women's issues? Or was
not necessarily. I felt very strong. I mean, you know, I had a child. I didn't want to bring in, you know, being brought up in a world with nukes. And,
yeah.
You know, no, I think... I think it was 50-50 or a little bit more on the nuke side, to be honest. Because, you know, the time being with women was lovely, and I really got a lot out of that. And I learned a lot about myself and about the world in general. But the thing I was really there for, the thing I put up with the cold and the damp for, because I could have hung out with those women back in Newport in a warm pub,
yeah.
invited them over to mine, you know. Or Cheryl's in Cardiff, we used to have like parties that lasted a few days. And the thing I was there for was I didn't want my child or anybody else's child being nuked.
Yeah.
I thought, my God, you know, she's growing up in this world, and if there was a war, she's not going to make it to be an adult.
Yeah.
That was the main thing, really. I wouldn't have put up with the cold and the wet for the women's company, lovely though they were, because
yes.
I could have seen them in other places, which I did.
Do you feel like Greenham worked for what it intended to do?
No cruise missiles there now, is there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Yeah, I think it did. Despite the fact that we were repeatedly told that it wouldn't do any good, blah, blah, blah. But where are those cruise missiles gone?
Yeah.
They're not at Greenham anymore.
Do you remember when they left?
Oh, yes. Big party.
A big party.
Yeah. Well, back in Newport, we had the party.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my friends, she had a big garden with a sort of big shed. Like that, but open on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a big party in her garden, a no nuke party. It's a couple of women, they were a lovely couple,
mm-hmm.
and they lived by the infirmary in Cardiff, and we used to have parties that went on a couple of days.
So it sounds like you had quite a strong Welsh contingent who...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Went to Greenham and were involved.
Yeah.
Was there much diversity at Greenham that you remember?
Not really. No. It was, I would say primarily, it was white middle class women.
Mm-hmm.
Women with time, you know, who had the time to do it.
Mm.
You occasionally saw women of other races, but not often.
Mm.
I didn't. It was women who, you know, white women who had the time, you know, maybe husbands would stay home or they were working and supporting them or they were looking after the kids or whatever. Or they didn't have kids.
Mm.
Some of them didn't have, some were on benefits. I know one woman, what was her name? I can't remember. She had really long black hair in a plait. And she purposely put herself out of work so she could claim benefits, so she could go there. She messed up at work once too often and they had to let her go.
Yeah.
And she couldn't find another job. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she actually was there a lot.
Mm.
And she was quite plummy, quite, you know, quite, had a bit of a posh accent.
Mm-hmm.
But... Boy, she wouldn't stop at anything. I mean, she, you know, she'd plough in if you were doing a sit across the road, she'd be right there. If you were cutting the fence, she'd be there with her bolt cutters.
Yeah.
You know, she sounded posh, but she wasn't afraid to get her hands dirty.
Yeah.
She was brilliant. Yeah, it was an interesting time. And, I feel my feeling about it now is that I feel I was very privileged to have been there at that time. My only regret is that I didn't keep in touch with women. And, you know, we didn't have Facebook back then.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there was one or two I knew, you know, because I'd known them already.
Mm-hmm.
But then I moved down here. We all moved and lost touch.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not very technical. I have got a phone I can do Facebook on, but somebody else ought to set it up for me. if something goes wrong. I mean, I'm not frightened of technology, but I suspect that if technology could be frightened, it would be frightened of me. Because my approach is to keep pressing buttons until something happens. Because that's what it looks like people are doing to me.
Yeah.
You know, if something doesn't work, I'll think, oh, well, there's a symbol there that looks like it could mean something. Mm. So, you know, I'll press that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that didn't work.
Yeah.
And I just keep poking at things until something works.
Yeah.
And sometimes the poor phone gets so pissed off, it just turns itself off.
Mm-hmm.
It's had enough. I'm going to sleep now while you go away.
Yeah, well, I don't know, maybe if you get a chance enough on our website, you might be able to find some of these people that you... that you remember the names of, but aren't in touch with anymore.
Yeah, I might do that, actually.
Well, is there anything else that you want to say about Greenham? What you've taken from it, or...?
Well, I feel really privileged that I was able to be there. I'm also very glad that my daughter, young as she was, had that experience, because... she's talked to her daughter about it.
Yeah, so, because she remembers bits of it. Mm. And she remembers it even after we stopped going there, when she started school and it sort of fizzled out. I had friends who were still going and they'd come over and we'd talk about it. So, and we did have one or two sort of just days when we went down with the group. I think the very last time she went, she was about 7. Mm. So, yeah, she has got sort of childhood memories of it.
Well, it's quite an unusual experience, I suppose, at that time, and to be able to see a group of women doing what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. I was asked to go into it. She was at in the primary school, and I was asked to go in and give a talk about Greenham Common, which I did.
Really?
because the one time, she was about 6, and she'd asked everybody to bring in sweetie wrappers, things, and ribbons and things the next day because she had this idea. So all her friends bought bits of ribbon and bits of coloured paper and stuff. And she proceeded to tie them. They had, the crossover wire. Mm-hmm. It was all down the hill along the side of the playground because there was 2 levels. So she sat there on the ground, and she started weaving all these into the railing, into the fence, the wire fence, and it looked pretty. So others joined in, and a couple of then more people were bringing stuff. And after a couple of days, you couldn't see through the fence; it was full of ribbons and bits of pretty and all the rest. And one of the teachers came out and apparently asked her. She said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm making Greenham Common." Oh, okay. Well, what's that? They'd heard of it.
Yeah.
And she said, I've been there with my mum, and this is what we do. And she'd written peace and hearts and everything, and the CND sign all over the playground as well. So, so she was sent home with a note. Your daughter has set up a mini Greenham Common in the school play yard. We're intrigued. When you pick her up, she was walking home with her friends that time. She had 2 older friends. When you next pick her up, because I would pick her up some days, we would like to speak to you about this Greenham Common. We're intrigued. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, intrigued's better than pissed off. So yeah. I thought, obviously, So anyway, they asked me if I could go and do a talk.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'd love to, because I thought it was just her class. And when we arranged it, they said, could you do last lesson? They were going to use the last lesson time on whatever date it was, blah, blah. So I said, yeah, that's great. And some parents had been involved and told about it as well. And so they turned up. But it was the entire school in the assembly hall. So I went to go to her class, and she said, we're in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up these couple of steps. And, of course, it was on a stage. And okay. And then with all these faces, the whole school and a few quite a few parents. Okay.
Right. Where are my notes?
Yes, I had my notes, yes. And I had 2 photos which a friend had hurriedly put on. They were like slides and they showed up on a big white screen. Yeah. And I only had 2, but, it was nice. And there was one of Jen at the age of 3, sat with her wellies, with her picnic lunch on a big tarp, and the mud was trickling in around the edges, coming to get us. And she sat there with her bobble hat, looking really pleased with her sandwich. And they all laughed, and the kids were like, that's Jenny, that's Jenny. And then there was another one, which I'd asked them if they, my friend who got pictures done for me, if she could get one of, she did, of the actual fence at Greenham with all the things in it. And I said, and this one, I said, is the actual fence. And then my friend clicked it and it came up on this big screen. And they went, oh, we made that. We yeah. made that in the playground. And the parents, so, you know, everybody knew.
Yeah.
My house was kind of, because after Greenham, or quite a while after Greenham, I've been a supporter of Free Tibet, being Buddhist, you know, for about 40 years now. And I raise funds for Tibetan refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing that, and, you know, people would bring things. If I had a jumble sale, people would bring me things for the jumble sale. And the guy who was in charge of the hall, the community hall, he said, oh, it's for a charity, you don't pay. So, you know, it was good. People are supportive when you're doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yes, we keep going off Greenham, don't we, and coming
no,
back.
No, no, that's great. I suppose I was just going to ask if there's any final things you want to say, but if not, that it's been a really lovely interview. Really, really lovely.
Well, I hope it's been useful, because I'm such a talker. I go completely off the subject sometimes. Yeah. But I think, well, if we're rounding up, I think I would definitely say that I was glad I was there. Yeah. I was privileged to be there. Met some amazing women, and some of them were supported by amazing men,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking after the kids and that. And, you know, I know it was their kids, so, you know, so they should. But they were supportive. They did it with a supportive attitude. And, yeah, cruise missiles, gone. And I was a small part of that. And so, yeah. There's something that as I get older, and I will get older, and I'll probably get to a stage where I can't do much. And I'll think, well, there's a few things in my life that I have done
mm-hmm.
that I'm quite proud of and quite pleased with. And that's definitely up there in the top three.
Yes.
Yeah.